الحمد لله الحمد لله كفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام ما نحل والد ولدا نحلا أفضل من أدب حسن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected elders and brothers in Islam, due to the circumstances, the scenarios, and due to the environment that we are all living in, the concern today, the core concern, the main concern in most people's lives today pertains to, is with regards to, just the worldly life. Because of the glitter and glamour, the pomp and glory, because of all those avowed and clear, distinct attractions and distractions that are there in the world, we as Muslims today also get affected, and our focus then moves away from where it's supposed to be, towards a direction that causes nothing but disaster in our lives. Our core concern, our main concern then becomes just the worldly life. Our actions depict and will show, our statements, our actions, all will show that we have forgotten or we are not concerned about the life still to come. That one day these eyes will close. The person is going to leave this world. When, where and how, only Allah knows. That person will be laid alone in that grave and will have to stand on the day of Qiyamah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reckon for his deeds. When it comes to ourselves, when it comes to our children especially, in the name of education, in the name of being concerned about the future of our children in this world, and for different excuses, we find we sacrifice, we compromise on our identity as being Muslims, on us practicing on Islam, and what Allah Ta'ala and our Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has laid down for us to follow. This world, as we just see, a bit of heat, and there the air cons are switched on. Whether in the masjid, whether in the home, whether in the car, the fans are switched on. People are feeling hot all the time. And how many degrees it could be? 20 to 25 to 30 degrees. Sometimes even lesser, people feel hot and these things are switched on. But what about the heat that we all have to face of the day of Qiyamah, on the day of Qiyamah? When that same sun that we have today, so many millions of miles away the sun is, and we are feeling hot. On the day of Qiyamah, when this sun will be above our heads, according to the narrations that has been mentioned, that the sun will be two hand spans. According to some narrations, it will be the extent of two spears above our heads. On that day, people will be drowning in their perspiration. in accordance to the deeds and the actions they carried out. What actions in accordance to what you did in the world? Accordingly, Allah Ta'ala will rank you on that day. The sun in his world, it has been mentioned that the sun in his world, this the surface temperature of the sun in his world, is between 10 to 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which is equal to 5 to 7,000 degrees Celsius. That is the surface temperature. The core temperature of the sun in his world, that we just see the sun above us, it is 27 million degrees Fahrenheit, equaling approximately 15 million degrees Celsius. That is the sun Allah Ta'ala has created. The sun is so huge that just in the disk of the sun, 109 earths can just fit in the disk of the sun. Every second, Allah Ta'ala has created the sun so powerful that every second, such energy is created by the sun. Not every minute, not every hour, every second, such energy is created by the sun. That it will take all the power plants of the world more than 2 million years to create such energy. How powerful the sun is that we are so many million miles away, but we feel so hot. What about the day of Qiyamah when that sun will just be above our heads? In the hadith, our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, people will be drowning in the perspiration. Some perspiration will be till their ankles, some till their knees, some till their hips, and some above their heads, based on what actions they carried out in this world. Where is our concern? That is what we all have to see. Only for the world? And what about the hereafter, the day of Qiyamah, and standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For us and for our children. I just recited the verse of the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala states, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amun, O you believe. If you are a true believer, true Muslim, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourselves. Save your families from such a fire. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. The fuel of that fire will be humans and stone. عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ. This fire of Jahannam will have such severe, strong, powerful angels. Very, very powerful, very, very huge. There's many depictions and descriptions given in the hadith. How big they will be, how large, how huge they will be, how powerful they will be. They do not disobey Allah Ta'ala in any instruction He gives them. And whatever Allah Ta'ala tells them, they do accordingly. This is a responsibility upon every person to see that he saves himself and his children, his wife, his children, his family from this fire of Jahannam, which we all know is true and has been created. And we all one day will definitely see it. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Every creation, every insan, every human will definitely enter Jahannam. Even if he is destined to go to Jannah. But he will enter. When I say enter, this entrance will differ according to the piety of the person. One will be entrance just to see it and be taken away to Jannah immediately. Just to appreciate Jannat, this will be done. And enter for certain people will be thousands of years the person will live in there, will be punished in there, then taken out if he's a Muslim and sent to Jannat. But obviously, when it comes to a non-Muslim, he is eternal. And we know what is eternity forever and forever. In the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Kullukum ra'in. Every one of you is a shepherd. Every one of you mas'ulun an ra'iyati. Will be questioned about his flock. That means, you are in charge of your wife and children. Brethren in Islam, it is really annoying and disappointing that when we have to speak about these topics, how many parents, when we bring this to their attention, when we come across cases in the madrasas and in personal life, and we have to advise a father or a mother that your child is involved in certain vices, and this is what you should be doing as solution to resolve the problem. Simple answer is, I've done what I have to do. I've given the child education, I've sent it to madrasa, now the child must do whatever he has to do. Whereas it is the responsibility of the father and mother, to the utmost ability, that father and mother must make effort towards rectifying the child, looking after the child when it comes to the aspects of deen and sharia. Before it's too late, and that parent will then cry tears of blood, as many have already done, right in front of us, how many have done that. In one hadith, which I just recited, it has been mentioned that no ma nahla walidun waladan nahla afdala min adabin hasan. That no parent gives his child a better gift than good moral training. No parent can give any gift. We always are thinking, what gift must I give my child? My child excelled. My child did so well. But good moral training, that is the best gift a father or a mother can confer upon, can give to his or her child. That is the spiritual side of life. The proper upbringing, this is what a parent can give as the best gift to the child. We know what is the situation on the ground, what is happening to our youth today. We can continue speaking about incidents, about the problems, about what is happening. Just to touch on that, there are certain things that we always make these statements, which are an error, an incorrect statement on our side. How many parents have said, my child is still small, my child will not do this? How many have said that I've brought up my child in the correct way, he will not do it? And when it happens to the child, we think very innocently, we think very narrowly with regards to our children. I would say this is a narrow thinking. Rather than others will say the incorrect thing, and they will say that to think narrowly about our children and restrict them, that is narrow thinking, that is incorrect. Rather, we think very innocent of our children, allowing them to go to such environments, such places, such company, giving them such tools, such instruments of modern technology, giving them access to that. And then when it's time up for us to regret and cry tears of blood, then who do we blame besides ourselves as parents? A study was done, a survey was done of youngsters. Up to what extent the youngsters today, this study was done more than a year ago. It was not done by any Islamic organization that we may say that the people made it up or it was not properly researched. This study was done by many of different organizations where the youth, when they are exposed to the cell phones and the internet, what evils then creep into their lives and what they are then exposed to. We think the child is still young, but from a young age, what these children are then exposed to, we are not aware of as parents. They have stated that 2/3 of high school pupils in South Africa, unfortunately we have to mention these things, brothers, just to bring it to our attention, what our youth are going through, and we can never ever make the statement, my child is still small, my child will not do it. The third statement that many people make, let my child enjoy life. I missed out, let me give it to my child. How many have made the statement? Brother in Islam, we say it from deep recess of our heart, with concern for the ummah. How many have made the statement? And after that, they had to retract that statement. They had to come to the ulama, they had to come to the social workers, they had to come to people to resolve the situation when it is too late. The child is hooked onto it. To take the child out becomes practically impossible. I do not say it's impossible, but practically impossible and difficult. They've mentioned that at least two-thirds of high school pupils in South Africa have watched at least one porn movie, while 45% regularly watch them. This has been done based on a survey of 1,000 pupils between the age of 13 and 17 years old. 64% of them are exposed to this via the internet. And 81% of them are exposed to this via their own or their friends' cell phones. The average time, the average age, a child is exposed to this filth, to this evil, that then causes disasters in their lives and their friends' lives for many, many years and generations to come. The first time, the average time, average age a child is exposed to this is from the age of 11 years old. We may say 11 is small, but it is not small, respected brothers in Islam. We can continue mentioning how many evils our youth are exposed to today. But let's go to the solutions. What do we do as parents and as elders of the community to resolve the situation? First and foremost, we ourselves as parents should become examples to the children. Alhamdulillah, many parents will bring the children to the masjid. But is that enough? Ask ourselves, is that enough? We should be examples to our children first. How we will love, accordingly that child will use us as an example. I do not say in all, but in most cases, we are then an example to the child. How many times we have to tell the children in madrasa, or when we speak into a child, a youngster, one-on-one, advising the child, we advise the child to do certain things at home, and not to do certain things at home, or in their lives, what they will mention, Maulana, what do I do? My father is doing it, my mother is doing it. So we firstly as parents become examples to those children by following Quran and Sunnah in our lives. Secondly, Salah, Namaz. The hadith is clear. We've heard the hadith so many times that when a child is at the age of 7, instruct the child to read Namaz. And when the child is at the age of 10, you can even, the hadith mentions to even admonish the child, to even hit the child, obviously to the limit allowed in Islam, in order for the child to read Namaz. We will say the child is still small. Here the hadith says, 7 years instruct, 10 years take the matter ahead, in order for the child to perform his Namaz. The third solution, the third way ahead, remember there are many solutions, we have very limited time. I will just mention the main important points. The third is, our lives, increase the recitation of Quran Sharif and dhikr in our lives, and also instruct our children to do accordingly. Fourth being, our income, ensure our income is halal. How many times people will try their utmost best to bring their children up the correct way? But they will mention to us, I don't know what I did wrong. I tried my best. Check your income. Your income should always be halal. How you are dealing, what you are doing, have you paid your dues? Are you dealing in halal? Are you dealing in haram? What you are eating, what you are being nourished by, is it halal, is it haram? Be very concerned about this. Next being, monitor the company of your children. Do not say that this child will not influence my daughter or my son, especially on the female side, towards evil. Monitor the company of your child. Where is the child going to? What is the child doing? What time is the child coming home? what is taking place in that person, in that child's life. The tools of fitna, the tools that will cause disaster in our life and those children's lives for now and future. See that if we have to give it to the child for some need, if there be a genuine need, there must be proper adult supervision and monitoring of that. The next important point is the home environment. The home environment must be conducive for the child to practice upon Islam and Sharia. As I've mentioned at the beginning, the first point, parents being an example, if the environment at home is conducive for the child to practice upon Sharia and Islam, is to implement those good things in life, and constantly the parents are talking at home about the evils of society, about what is allowed, not allowed, what we should do, what we should not do. This inshallah will also help. Another important solution is daily ta'aleem at home. Whether it be that we read Fazail al-Amal, whether it be we read some dini kitab, authentic dini book at home is recited. The father himself should take it as his responsibility. As we have so much of time to waste with the newspapers, yes, there are certain beneficial things, but how much of time is wasted with those newspapers? How much of time is wasted in so many other activities in life, sitting on the internet, doing so many other activities, associating with our friends? So much of time is wasted. We cannot say we do not have time for this. Barakat will come in at home. Noor will come in at home. And inshallah, those children will then benefit. Another important solution, another important aspect to resolve the situation, to help with the situation, is to spend quality time with our families and children. How many children will complain, I do not even see my father, I do not even see my mother. Then nobody spends time with us. Nobody shows us love and affection. Nobody is there to help us and listen to us and talk to us. Heart-to-heart discussions. What did the child do for the day? What problems the child had? Quality time should be spent with the family at home. This will help a lot, inshallah. And the last point, the solution that we have time for today, although there are many, many other solutions, many other points to be mentioned, these are not the only solutions. There are many others. But what I wish to conclude upon today is making dua for those children. In the hadith, it has been mentioned that the dua of the parents for the children, one, and against the children, meaning baddua and curses upon the children, that is very much readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua constantly for them, not against them in any way, but making dua for their betterment, inshallah, by us doing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our du'as. I've mentioned many times before, du'as does not mean a du'a being accepted that what you ask for you get immediately. That is not the only way a du'a is accepted. In the hadith is mentioned that when a person makes du'a of something permissible and good, Allah Ta'ala answers him in one of the three ways. Imma ayyu'ajjila lahu da'wata. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he asked for grants him immediately. Immediately could be in a short while. Secondly, يُؤَخِّرَ لَهُ فِي الْأُخْرَى, delays the answering of the dua to a latter part of life. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, prophets of Allah, made dua to Allah. Allah answered the dua after 30 years, 50 years, 80 years. But they continued making dua to Allah. According to one hadith, the dua could also be delayed to the hereafter. When a person goes to Jannah, he will ask Allah, O Allah, such great rewards you've granted to me, whereas I do not deserve, I haven't done such good deeds, so many good deeds in life. Allah Ta'ala will tell him, O my servant, O my banda, O my Muslim, O my believer, O my mu'min. There were many du'as you made in this world that were not granted to you in this world, and the rewards of it were stored for you in the hereafter. When he will see, the hadith states, he will see the rewards of those du'as that outwardly in this world were not given to him. He will then desire in his heart, how nice if all my du'as in this world were not given to me in this world, were not accepted in this world. So either Allah Ta'ala grants you what you want immediately, or delays to a latter part of your life or to Jannah. Or third being, Allah Ta'ala removes some difficulty, some calamity, some predicament, some problem that you are supposed to face in life, to the barakat of the dua you made that was not given to you in this world, Allah Ta'ala removes that afat, bala, musibat, that difficulty from your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to realize our responsibility for ourselves and especially for our children also. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillah.